Sacks taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Hickster?
Zach, Chiefs All-World defensive tackle Chris Jones is doing the unthinkable in the modern NFL, and that is holding out of training camp looking for a new deal.
Don't you get fined like $40,000 or $50,000 a day?
$50,000 a day.
My Lord.
And the team used to be able to cover it back in the old days. No more. So whether he gets a new deal or not, I'm sure he'll get paid happily, and you're not going to cry over, I don't know, $300K missed if you miss a week or so. If you're getting $30 million a year, but that money is gone forever.
But wouldn't you just go in to training camp and then just say, oh, my back hurts, and hold in? And you still aren't going to have to pay the team this ridiculous fine?
That's why I word it the way I did. He's doing the unthinkable.
That's crazy to me.
You can hold in nowadays. No one has ever holded out with the new CBA. And here's Chris Jones saying, take my money. I don't care.
And what do you think is a bigger distraction? I would argue if the guy is there and holding in. Because not that he'll be out of sight, out of mind, because this is going to be a major talking point that Chris Jones is not there. Because what is there really to bring up with the Kansas City Chiefs? They just won another championship. You got Patrick Mahomes. It's not as if it's a juicy team in terms of storylines. So this is always going to get talked about. And I'm not saying after a week this just goes away. But if he's there, like walking through the locker room a little bit, you know, maybe does an interview with the media or something like that. Isn't that more effective than not showing up?
I think in today's day and age, because no one ever holds out, I think that, because it's so different, is a bigger story.
Okay.
Just because, oh, he's not here, we don't see him.
When will he show back up?
Can freak out because he's not, you know, at least you can say, oh, even if he's not practicing and he's walking through the reps, you're in the meetings, you're still learning about the scheme. Now it's, oh, he's not even there at all. Maybe kind of ups the angst a little bit, which I'm sure is what he's looking for and why he's doing, like we said, the unthinkable and losing a lot of money to pull off a stunt to try to get a new contract.
If I was, let's say, a reporter in Kansas City, you know where I would be right now? You know where I'd be camped out?
Outside his garage.
Nope.
Driveway.
I forget who this was for. I think it was Mahomes. I would be camped outside the champagne store. Remember that report?
Yes.
Where the lady at the champagne store who worked there said a few people from the Chiefs just walked in and brought a bunch of really expensive bottles of champagne.
The liquor store employees, get them on the line.
Now, I don't know if you're popping champagne, if this guy is holding out, but I think that's your best source on this situation if there's going to be anything that gets rectified. The champagne lady in Kansas City.
He's what, the third best player on that team? So you're probably popping champagne if they get a new deal done.
Over a holdout, though, gets a little contentious. I don't know if you're celebrating at the end of the day.
Well, end of the day, he's on the team. You're happy. I mean, the team, they want him. It's not like they don't want him. Yeah. I would say that's champagne worthy. But, all right, either way, he is looking for a very high price tag. According to The Athletic, the four-time Pro Bowler is looking to be paid at least $30 million per season.
Wow.
Which would be the second highest paid player at his position, only behind Aaron Donald, who's currently making $31.6 million per year. Currently, right now, zero Chiefs are the highest paid player at their respective position. Onsides or offsides, the Chiefs should pay Chris Jones at least $30 million a year.
I think that's his asking price, but I think he'll come down on that. I'm going to say offside. So
offside.
You mentioned Aaron Donald at $31.6 million. After that, in the top five, and a lot of these deals are new deals. Quinnen Williams, new deal, $24 million a year. Jeffrey Simmons, $23.5 million a year. Deron Payne, new deal, $22.5 million. And Dexter Lawrence, new deal, $21.8 million. I don't think there's, well, you could make a case because it's kind of like quarterback. You don't have to be the best, but then you could be the highest paid. But I would think you got to be like two or three. I don't think you need to get to 30, but you'll probably have to exceed somewhere in the Quinnen Williams and Jeffrey Simmons range of like 23, 24 million. So you got like 26, 27. I think there's a way to get this thing done and get it solved. And you wonder how you're going to spread it out and all that other stuff.
Carolina Panthers franchise legend Jake Delhomme believes heading into the 2023 season, one team has a major advantage in the NFC South. Appearing on Sports Talk with Bobby Herbert, Delhomme discussed why he thinks the Saints with Derek Carr have a massive advantage in their division.
Oh, I think it's a huge advantage. Listen, I was a big believer in this Saints roster last year, and I just believe they had some injury issues. I just thought they had a really good roster, and I still think the job that Mickey has done is pretty remarkable, to be quite honest. And they still have some good players. Listen, this division's wide open. I think Atlanta has done some good things, but I still think there's time that they still need to add some more pieces, especially up front on the defensive line. Tampa, listen, I'm not so sure about Tampa, to be quite honest with you. I think that this team could struggle. So I think the Saints have, you know, the upper hand right now with the roster and certainly the veteran quarterback.
All right, so onsides or offsides, these Saints, on paper, in your mind, are at least two wins better than every other team in the division.
This division stinks. I don't see, even if the Saints have the upper hand, how anyone could argue right now that the Saints are two wins better than every other team in the division. This is a god-awful division, but I'll go offside.
Offside!
Because you have a lot of guys that, on paper, are good players, but they're never healthy. And Derek Carr is a wild card, where he's a good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. But whenever there's expectations on him and you expect him to take that next step, he doesn't do it. And if you can't win the NFC South this year, geez Louise, man. I don't want to hear anything about a redemption tour or how Derek Carr is underrated and he's overlooked by everyone. Give me a break. And Eric Eager from Sumer Sports had the best line. He goes, as a Chiefs fan, whenever I have expectations of Derek Carr, I think, or I'm being told that Derek Carr is going to win the division, I always go the other way because I'll never pick that guy to win a division.
But hey, he does have the second week of February circled on his calendar. I'll be in Las Vegas. Him and his teammates. So take that, I guess, if you will. All right.
What, did you request you a day pass at the Super Bowl this year for Radio Row?
Hey, either way, I guess that counts, right? He'll be in Vegas. Yeah. He thinks he'll be playing in the game.
Maybe we'll go to a pool party with Derek Carr. when we hopefully go to the Super Bowl this year on Radio Row.
Honestly, you know what?
Go to Wet Republic.
Jumping off a diving board, catching pass from him into the pool.
No.
I would do it.
Please. You know what you do at a pool party?
Well,
you sit on a day bed, you drink, and you eat chicken fingers.
What I'll be doing is drinking, then running to the diving board and be like, all right, Derek, hit me. Yeah. Third and 10, Super Bowl on the line.
I'm sorry.
I'm going deep. Hit me.
I would have to do that. I can't trust you. Because after hearing how you suffered a little hand injury in the pool this weekend, swimming, and you fractured or had something go on
wrong with
dislocated your finger, I would not trust you to catch passes from Derek Carr.
But here I am, back working, no big deal. If I fractured my finger there, I think I would still go back in the pool and catch passes still.
If you took off because you... What the heck did you do your finger again?
Dislocated.
Dislocated? I don't know why that can't register in my brain. That would be the weakest thing ever.
Well, I didn't. Tough guy.
You probably thought about it, though.
No, I'm tough, all right? I'm tough.
You are not tough.
I never would have thought about taking off. Never even crossed my mind.
If you're tough, I'm the sexiest looking man on this planet, and we all know that's not the case.
I barely went to the doctor. That's how tough I am.
Oh, yeah. You went to the emergency room.
No, it's not the emergency room. I didn't go to the hospital. Went to the lesser...
You were sucking your thumb. Lauren, what should I do? My finger hurts.
I didn't want to go. I said, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And here I am. Fine. All right, let's go up to your neck of the woods. Boston, our Odyssey station, our Odyssey sports station, WEEI, on Friday posted an interesting poll to their fans on Twitter and or X. Would you trade Bill Belichick for multiple first-round picks? The answer, 3,500 votes from Patriots fans was 63.9% yes, 36.1% saying no. So majority, 70% basically said they would trade Bill Belichick for multiple first-round picks. So I ask you that question, onsides or offsides. You, Zach Gelb, would trade Bill Belichick for two first-round picks.
And this would be after the season?
After 2023.
All right, how does the season play out?
I don't know, so let's just say right now. Some team offers you right now, today, two first-round picks for Bill Belichick.
I love Bill Belichick, but I actually do this. Bill in April is going to be 72. He ain't getting any younger. I would trade 2 first-round picks to hopefully a bad team and a desperate team, and you could kind of figure out the rest of this roster in the NFL draft. So I would go on sides on that one.
All righty. All right.
But in Bill, we trust. I love Bill Belichick.
But
do your job. Do your job. Do your job.
Nice knowing you.
Do your job well. Do your job as always. Do your job for life.
Do your... Oh, no. Sorry. I was going to do the chant. It was no days off. No days off.
Do your job better than Hickey in the swimming pool. That's all I'll say.
Well, I was flying, I will say. A lot of speed coming out that wall. Yeah. I had a camera to see that. It was flying.
I don't get what's up with you producers. How you guys think, like, you're all these great athletes. It's amazing.
You producers?
Yeah. Every producer at CBS Sports Radio thinks they're these tremendous athletes.
Who?
Well, Marash used to be, or he used to think he's a tremendous athlete. You're now having that kind of syndrome go down as well, where you think you're like the greatest athlete ever. Stu Kovacs, got a little bit leaner, and all of a sudden he thinks he's like Pele on a soccer pitch. You guys are crazy, all of you.
Or maybe just super athletic. Maybe the producers should join a sports league and we'll dominate that sports
league. You know the two most athletic producers are here at CBS Sports Radio?
Me and who?
Shep.
He did run the New York City Marathon.
And beat Tiki Barber.
And I don't think he trained for it. Like, I think he literally just woke up and said, I'm going to run today.
And then ran to the studio to do my Ion football shift.
Yes.
Which Sweaty. Was crazy.
Insane.
And I think D-Cell would kick your ass.
I mean, in a fight, absolutely he would kick my ass.
That's, I think he's more athletic than you.
I would not say, I would not use the word athletic.
He's definitely got a wrestling background.
Strong, absolutely.
He's definitely got a wrestling background.
Wanting to hurt someone, he absolutely has that more than I do, so he's more motivated, we'll say, than me.
He's not wearing a splint on his finger if he had a little injury in the pool. That D-Cell's tough. He's not like you. He's tough.
I'm not wearing this because I want to wear it. I'm wearing it because I got to be healed.
Onside or offside? I should ask Bill Ryder. I'll trade him Hickey and 2 first-round picks to get D-Cell now. You think he'd do that? You think Bill would do that?
Well. This is a no-win for me here. I'm a valuable commodity. All right, speaking of valuable commodities, I guess me and Jalen Hurts are both in the same vein here because...
Hey, Spike, would you approve the trade, 2 first-round picks and Hickey, and I end up getting D-Cell?
Yes, Zach, we'll approve it.
All right, good. Nice knowing you. Press conference coming up in 2 hours.
I would argue not enough for me. Nowhere close. Should be the other way around.
All right, go ahead.
But Jalen Hurts played in the Super Bowl, right? Second in MVP voting last season, yet still does not get the respect that he maybe should deserve. Pro Football Focus released their list of the top 50 players in the league heading to this season. Guess where Hurts ranked in that top 50 list?
It wasn't on it. Idiots.
Boom. Boom. That's right. Not in the top 50.
Morons.
Nerds. The list. 6 quarterbacks, though, in the league were on that top 50 list. None with the name Jalen Hurts. Last week, ESPN polled NFL personnel throughout the league to record their top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. They had Jalen Hurts 6th out of QBs. Onsides or offsides, Jalen Hurts is being disrespected heading into 2023.
So last week I would have said no, and I would have thought this question is ridiculous because I don't think he's disrespected. I think the world of Jalen Hurts, but on any list, at best, you'd probably make the case that he should be the 3rd best quarterback in the sport, at worst, 5th. How Pro Football Focus didn't even put him as a top 50 player in the league, and ESPN said in personnel he's ranked a 6. Maybe he's getting more disrespected than I thought, because Hurts played the best game out of anybody in the Super Bowl, and that featured Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I guess Jalen Hurts is getting disrespected on sides, and you know he loves that rat poison.
Oh.
Loves it.
Eagles fans, Nick Sirianni should be rejoicing. Put out more rankings. Put out more lists. Only fuels the fire for a guy who doesn't really need it either, but definitely does not hurt for sure.
You know Sirianni's going to go to bat for his guy at training camp with the Eagles. This will definitely be asked about. This will be a big story in Philadelphia.
And you know what? Again, if you're Eagles fans, you should be eating it up. This is exactly what you want. Finally, speaking of exactly what you want, the Raiders and their fans can let out a collective sigh of relief because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to participate in training camp. He did pass his physical. Now, if you go back a few months ago in March, there was addendums made to his contract because Garoppolo still was not fully healed from his foot surgery. He even had foot surgery after he signed the contract back in March, but now all healed up, ready to go. For his career, Garoppolo has started an entire season one time back in 2019. So, onsides or offsides, Jimmy Garoppolo will start at least 15 games for the Raiders this season.
Offside.
Offside.
I know that there was an injury that I thought was overblown. Like, he was never going to not be able to pass the physical and then get cut. And I know they changed the contract, so I don't want to make it seem as if it was nothing. And, you know, the surgery and all that. But this guy's always hurt. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I fully believe that he's going to be perfectly healthy this year and play at least 15 games this season. So I'll bet against the Raiders and Jimmy G on this one. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little first and goal. We'll preview the Bears with Clay Harbor.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, time to preview the Bears, and we'll do so with Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end, kind enough to join us right now. Clay, how you been?
I'm great, man. I'm over here in Chicago. It's actually pretty warm out here. We know winter is coming, as they would say in Game of Thrones. But right now, summertime Chicago. It's a beautiful night here in the city, and looking forward to it.
Well, I got to apologize to you because I heard my buddies were bugging you while they're on a bachelor party this week, and they ran into you and Marshall Harris, and you guys ended up buying them shots. So I thank you, but I thought it was very lame. They're just like, oh, it's Clay Harbor and Marshall Harris. You know Zach Gelb, and you guys ended up, I guess, hitting it off.
Oh, yeah. They were a good group of guys, and Marshall, I don't want to tell on Marshall here, but he recognized him. He goes, hey, this guy's wearing Delilah's shirt, and Delilah's a gentleman's club from Philadelphia. And I go, oh, man, how did you know that, Marshall? I'm not going to ask. You guys are
familiar. Clay Harbor here with us. We're having trouble hearing Clay just a little bit. Let's hope the
can you guys hear me?
Now we hear you perfectly. So there we go. Let's get the conversations away from the strip clubs and my dopey buddies, and let's get to Justin Fields. He expects to be a 4,000-yard passer this year. We know last year he ran for 1,000 yards. From a number standpoint, what do you kind of expect from Justin Fields this season?
I would be blown away if he gets to 4,000, I think he's going to improve. I think 3,000 is a good number for him. Obviously, he has a lot more weapons this year. I'll let DJ Moore, a guy who's been over 1,100 yards in three seasons. And that would be over, that'd be half the money he had last year. I mean, last year,
Hickey, let's see if we get Clay back up, and we'll try to continue this segment. I know we're just having trouble here in Clay Harbor, the former NFL tight end. Unfortunate, but hey, this is a part of radio. Things like that does happen. But I think Clay, from what he was trying to say, is pretty much right, where last year he had 2,242 yards. So it's nice of Justin Fields to have these big expectations, but the idea of him probably throwing for 4,000 yards this year, that means you're going to be running the ball significantly less. And if that's the case, then it's okay, are you getting the best version out of Justin Fields? But a big part for the Bears quarterback this year is now he's in a position where you think he could succeed, where he has more around him. I think we have Clay back with us. Clay, just kind of go back to what you were saying about expectations this year for Fields from a number standpoint.
Yeah, hopefully we can stay connected. Like Justin Fields will be with his receivers, very connected this year. I think he'll do a better job, but saying he goes from 2,200 yards to 4,000, I think that's just a huge ask. I think 3,000 would be a better number, would be a better option for Fields to have said. And I know he's got better receivers, a la DJ Moore, a guy who's been over 1,100 yards three times in his career. Cole Kmet's been a guy that's been a weapon. Darnell Mooney, a guy that's had over 1,000 yards before. Chase Claypool's gotten close. So he has the weapon to do it. Robert Tonyan, some guys out the backfield, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson. He's got some weapons and a better offensive line. So I think he will get better, but 4,000 I think is asking a little bit too much because I believe the Bears aren't just going to start throwing it every down. They're still going to be a running team this season.
Do you think at the end of this Bears season, Bears fans will finally feel confident about the quarterback position? Because you know they've been looking for a quarterback forever.
Man, I hope so, because I can't go into another offseason with all the talk. If we found our guy, is he the guy? Is he? We need to know. And I think that's what Ryan Poles did this season. He said, hey, we're going to invest in the O-line. We're going to get him a couple receivers, Chase Claypool last year, obviously midseason, and then bringing in DJ Moore and drafting Tim Scott. So, Tyler Scott. So I think he's done enough to give Justin Fields a fair shake. After this year, you're going to know if he's the guy or isn't he. That's all you can ask for, because you got to remember, you got extra picks going into next season. So you'll have two first-round picks and a second-round pick next year to use that capital. If you need it on one of these big-time quarterbacks coming out, hopefully we don't have to go there. I think Fields is the guy. I think he'll improve. You look at him from week 6 to week 16, he was the fourth-rated QBR in the entire league. He had 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, was much better than he started the season. I think that's the Fields we're going to see this year.
Did you like the decision I did at the draft to stick with Fields, not draft the younger quarterback, and pick up those assets like you were talking about?
I think so, because you've seen Fields actually perform against a NFL defense. And I know Bryce Young is great and C.J. Stroud is great, and I think they're going to be good quarterbacks, but you still haven't seen them play in the NFL. You haven't seen him try to pick up an NFL offense, and obviously Justin Fields hasn't been great, but he has shown spurts where he can do it. And I get what they're thinking. You know, Mike Tannenbaum, I think he's got some solid reasoning there. Hey, let's restart this quarterback clock. You look at the quarterback clock, that's important. Joe Burrow's got T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd to throw the ball to. If you're paying him $50 million a year like you are Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, you're probably not going to be able to do that. Even though Hurts has a great receiving core, it helps when you don't have to pay a quarterback all that money and you reset that clock for 5 years. That's a lot. I mean, there's something to that. But if they would have got rid of Justin Fields and he would have ended up being a number one quarterback, a big-time player, they would have had to move out of Chicago. They wouldn't even been able to stay in the Midwest. These Chicago Bear fans would have been letting them have it wherever they went. So I think they made the right choice.
Let's get to the next down. Clay Harbor here with us. You talked about some of the improvements on the offensive line. We know they drafted Darnell Wright. Is this offensive line going to be good enough, even though they made some improvements this offseason?
You know, I think so. I think a big piece of that is, how is Darnell Wright going to shake out? Obviously, okay, first-round pick. People are penciling him in to be a starter. You're a rookie in the NFL. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're picked. There's going to be a learning curve, and he's going to have an up-and-down year. I mean, last year you saw it with Braxton Jones, one of the better rookie tackles, but you look back at Akeem Okwunu, look back at Ryan Neal. These guys struggle. There's going to be a struggle, so Fields is going to have some pressure in his face, but I think it's better than it was last year. I think Braxton Jones, important player for the Bears this year. Does he get better? He's staying at left tackle. He was a fifth-round pick last year at Southern Utah. He played well, but still, he's got to improve. There are some flaws that showed up in his game out of the bull rush. The guys did bull rush him, but I love the pickup of Nate Davis, who's with Cody White here, a veteran at center, and Tevin Jenkins. I think he's vastly underrated. I think he's one of the best guards in the league, moving him from left to right guard, but he's a guy that used to play right tackle. So I think Tevin can make the move. So overall, this line has gotten better, and there's not a ton of pass rushers in this NFC North division, but I think the Vikings still have some, the Lions have some, Aiden Hutchinson. I think, the Packers still got a couple too, so they're going to have their hands full, but I think they got better.
We all know DJ Moore is a stud, one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league. That's not only the big move, though, that the Bears made going back to last year. They traded for Chase Claypool, now off that pup list after a short stay. When you look at Chase Claypool, what are your expectations for him? Because this is go time for a guy that was traded for a second-round pick.
Man, I want to go see the Bears trainer. These guys got Chase Claypool off the pup in one day. They need to fix my back, man. This is crazy. These guys are miracle workers. I'm still trying to walk myself through that. I went through a bunch of scenarios, but I don't know what happened there. But, hey, he's ready to go. He's off the pup list. I think he's got a long way to go to prove that he was worth a 32nd pick in the NFL draft. Obviously, at the time, they're giving up a second-round pick. The Bears thought they'd win a few more games. Unfortunately, they didn't. Well, fortunately, because they did get the number one pick and get DJ Moore and a future number one pick out of it. But overall, I think Chase Claypool will improve. He'll get better. He's been in the book, a year in the system. I thought he disappointed last year. I'm a guy that thinks if you're in the NFL, you should be able to pick up an offense. I've been a guy that's been cut. I've been traded. I've been picked up midseason. You got to get in the book. You got to be able to play your professional. But I understand some guys don't pick it up as quick as others. So now that he has it down, if you're not playing 100%, if you're not playing fast, that's so important for a quarterback and a receiver. It's all about timing at those positions. I know you hear it a million times, but if you're not 100% confident in the playbook, you're going to play slow. You're going to be a step off, and that makes all the difference in the NFL. The margin of error is so small. So I'm expecting him to come back, be able to use all that ability, that size and speed, have a good year for the Bears, and either be the two or the three. I think either way, he helps Justin Fields out instead of having just Darnell Mooney out there. Now you got Moore, Mooney, and Claypool on the field at the same time. Three guys that have proven they can play in this league and they can be successful and win one-on-one battles. And that helps because now DJ Moore is getting the number one cornerback, so Claypool and Mooney will get the two and three.
Let's get to the next down. Talking to Clay Harbor, what's your read on the head coach now in year two of Matt Eberflus?
No, I like Eberflus. He's a no-nonsense type guy. He's not flashy. You know, he's pretty under the radar. He's a defensive-minded coach. And, you know, maybe for a young quarterback, you know, seeing how Doug Peterson was able to help Trevor Lawrence and stuff like that, Nick Sirianni with Jalen Hurts, I kind of think, you know, it would be nice to have an offensive coach. But I think Lou Getsy's an offensive coordinator, does a good job. But Eberflus has to improve his defense. You're a defensive coach. You can't have the worst, I repeat, the worst defense in the league. I know you're shipping off your players. You didn't have linebackers last year after you traded Roquan Smith. Your D-line's the worst in the league. They had 10.5 sacks all year as a defensive line. 17 teams in the NFL had more sacks than the Bears' entire defensive line. 17 players. So he doesn't have a lot to work with. But this year, just like Justin Fields, is a year you can finally start to judge Eberflus. He's got a couple picks in there. Tyreek Stevenson, rookie cornerback. He's already basically penciling in as a starter. I don't care who you are. Second-round pick. I don't care if it's first-round pick, first pick. You are going to have some up and downs as a rookie playing cornerback in this league on the island. Kyler Gordon, you know, ups and downs. He wasn't a great pick last year. We're going to see how he does. The Bears are moving him into slot, so he's solely focused on slot. So there's a lot of things that remain to be seen. I think Poles maybe makes a trade for, like he did last year, Riley Reiff, Michael Schofield, right before training camp, brought a couple of veterans in. But at the same exact time, I think he does that with a defensive end, an edge defender. Maybe Yannick Ngakoue signs with the Bears. I'm hoping for that. Justin Houston. And I hope we get another pass rusher for this team.
Let's get to the final down. Last thing I'll ask you, Clay Harbor. When you look at this division right now, who do you have winning it and why?
You know, I've been going back and forth on this one. I think it's, you know, obviously it's been Aaron Rodgers for so long. I own you, Chicago. I own you. He's no worse anymore. He's over New York with the Jets. We don't have to deal with the boogeyman anymore. So now it's kind of an open division. I know, obviously, the smart money might say Minnesota was 13-4 last year, but they won a ton of close games. If you're watching Netflix quarterback, you saw how many close games they won. This team was winning close game after close game. I think they're more near a 500 team. So I think the Lions, you know, my old tight end coach, Dan Campbell, he's a guy that players love to play for. The team loves him. He's got Jared Goff, who I think is a playmaker. I'm not really sure. People said they had a great draft. I wasn't in love with it. I think you had a solid running back core, but then you basically used your picks to keep the same type of running back core with Jahmyr Gibbs and obviously David Montgomery coming from Chicago. I like their weapons. I'm on Ross St. Brown's, but Jameson Williams is suspended until week six. I think they got a solid line. The defensive line gets better, and they made some great moves on the defensive end. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, it seems like it's not a serious injury. They got reported in camp. I think Cam Sutton will improve them. Jack Campbell at linebacker. I think they did some good things on that defensive side of the ball. But I think the Lions are kind of my dark horse winner in this division. I think they're going to surprise some people. Jared Goff is better than people think. This Lions team, I think, is better than people think. But I really do think it's an open division.
Clay Harbor, appreciate the time. Thanks so much, my friend.
I appreciate you. Thanks.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I've now watched 3 episodes so far, Hickey, of Quarterback. I figured out the Netflix problem after all the account sharing got shut down. Kirk Cousins comes off as very likable. Through the first 3 seasons, or first 3 episodes of season 1 of Quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's a genuine, no nonsense in the sense that like he is just like a true dad, doesn't want any of the perks that come along with being one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and he just loves his family and his flannels.
I find it so funny how his wife dresses him as if he's like a regular human being, right, with all the money that he's making. But you know what I thought was really cool in a weird way? How he's so humble
I guess is the right way to say it, where he didn't want his trophy case or his room to be in full display in the house. So the person that was designing his home or helping out, you know, build up his home made a secret man cave for his trophy room. I thought that was pretty badass. And then he gets the game ball and you see him himself like climb up and put the game ball on the shelf. And I also thought it was pretty comical how the person designing this goes, and we're going to save a place for the Lombardi trophy right there. I think that's going to be an empty space on the wall. I'd probably leave that out of the documentary and not be that transparent with everybody.
Why not, though? Like, what's wrong with that?
You're going to get trolled. It's going
to
happen.
He doesn't care. I think you got to this part, but he goes, my haters, if I walked on water, they said I would do it because I couldn't swim. He has some good lines when you put him in the spot.
But nothing will top Geno Smith. They wrote me off, but I didn't write back. I think that is still one of the all-time great lines ever. And you still don't understand it, which is amazing.
I hate it because I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
He's saying, this is, I said this at the time, and I'll explain this to you again. He's saying everyone wrote him off, but he didn't listen. That's what I think he means by saying he didn't write back. Like, he didn't listen to that noise. I think it makes a lot of sense, actually.
No one's asking him to write back. That's what, like, it's not like they were saying, oh, Gino, I'm writing fan mail to you, respond.
You never know. I think a lot of times when people go after someone, they want some sort of response, especially if it's on social media, whether that's Twitter X or whatever it's called these days. People are looking to get a rise.
I'll take Kirk's walk on water line over Geno Smith's don't write back line.
Stop. I'm also still trying to figure out what the point is of Marcus Mariota on this show. How desperate were they to get another quarterback that they had to settle on Marcus Mariota? I get it. Guys won a Heisman. Guy's been a number two overall pick in the league, and they eventually will win. I didn't get up to this yet, obviously, when he quits on the team, but you know that's happening. But it seems like he's a waste on this show.
I think I like the idea in the sense I think what they're going for is to kind of give you three levels of what the NFL quarterback is like. Obviously, Mahomes is insanely successful, but we know he is truly an outlier in terms of how good and how successful quarterbacks can be. Kirk Cousins is the guy that is good but can't get over the hump in the playoffs.
Second tier. Yeah.
And Mariota's kind of like fighting for his job, which is where a lot of NFL players and quarterbacks kind of live. So I like the dichotomy in the sense that they're showing you all basically guys at three different parts of their career all fighting for different things and have different levels of what you would consider success. I kind of like the variance.
But the problem is you have Marcus Mariota who's boring. Like, you can't... I'm not saying any of the three in terms of their personality are wildly entertaining, but you need Mahomes if you could get him. He's the face of the league. Kirk Cousins, he's quirky, but I'm not saying he's someone that has like this great personality, maybe more than we thought with the, I know we've seen these clips before back in high school when he was a singer and he did the whole Pretty Woman song and all that stuff. But when you don't have a great, and I know sometimes the story writes itself, it's the NFL, everything's entertaining. Well, you don't have personalities of guys that are all that entertaining. I think your wild card guy needs to have a little bit of a better personality than Marcus Mariota. He just doesn't do much for me.
No, I mean, I guess no. Again, I still like the idea of changing it up, but also, too, I think that's part of the reason why they don't do this like in a weekly release, kind of like Hard Knocks does, where you have like no turnaround time. They let the season play out.
Oh, it happened.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've noticed the airtime from Mahomes to Cousins and then to Mariota is like basically not like Mariota's like the afterthought of, oh, yeah, by the way, like even though we're up to week 7 for the Chiefs, it's like back to week 4 at the Falcons because we barely showed him.
Until they talked about how him and his wife met, I was like, where the heck is this guy in the documentary so far?
Yeah, they don't give him a lot of airtime, which I'm sure is going to change very soon once you get the news that he is no longer going to be QB1.
Yeah, I still think they should do Hard Knocks, though. I know people like this stuff, and it's in the moment. I still think you should do both. And I'll be curious how the Jets are in Hard Knocks this year because they weren't willing to do it. Then the league forced them to do it. But once when Robert Saleh walks out to that press conference with the I Love HK for Hard Knocks shirt, you can't then just give us a crappy Hard Knocks season. You got to fully embrace it and not just say you are embracing it, not actually embrace it.
I mean, this is tailor-made to be one of the best Hard Knocks seasons yet. With that said, my hopes are very low.
Yeah, so you know why I can't get all jacked up for this? Because we thought the Raiders were going to be awesome on Hard Knocks. You had all the disaster with Antonio Brown. You had John Gruden there as well. Mike Mayock, who was on TV for a bunch of years.
I thought the Raiders were really going to be kick-ass, and they were disappointing. I thought the last really good Hard Knocks, I know a lot of people liked the Lions one, but I thought that was just good on social media. The Cowboys one was boring. It was really the Cleveland Browns. With Jarvis Landry, when he did that fake speech just to kind of show outrage for the cameras, you had the whole Hugh Jackson stuff with Todd Haley, and then a guy that sends me a text every holiday. Every holiday that there is, imagine, or any national day, I get a text from Big Bob Wiley. Bob Wiley is awesome. He was great with the whole stretching and the world wars and all that stuff. You think we stretch before world wars? That's a terrible Bob Wiley impression, but I thought that was that was unbelievable with his big gut. I like Bob Wiley. Nice man.
He, in terms of character, I'd say was probably the biggest character since Rex Ryan.
It's fine. I was just going to say that. He looked like he could have been a brother of Rex or Rob Ryan.
Let's go eat a GD snack. Yeah. They were truly the last two quote-unquote stars that I think have taken over.
Yeah, I hope Hard Knocks is good this year, but with how much resistance the Jets had to it, it's tough. With how much control the team has, it's tough for me to think that that's actually going to be all that great. But it is a step, I guess, when you have Robert Saleh wearing the I Love HK shirt. That better not be Fugazi. That better not be contrived. That better be genuine, right?
I have a feeling it's not genuine.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I got to ask you this question. I think my answer may surprise you. Who's the rookie quarterback this year that you think is best set up for success when you look at the rookie quarterbacks in the NFL that you actually think will play? Like, I don't think anyone actually believes that Will Levis is going to get a lot of game time this year.
So Stetson Bennett cannot be a viable answer?
Is that marinated with sarcasm?
Yes.
Okay, I was just going to say, because, you know, you look at the Rams, you have so many guys 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You have Cooper Kupp still there, but really not a lot left to be desired for the offense side of the ball. Line stinks. You still got Aaron Donald, but it's still amazing that Stetson Bennett was a fourth-round pick.
Crazy. And didn't graduate, which is even more amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And Sean Clifford was drafted, what, in the fifth round?
Fifth round.
Which is also crazy.
By the Packers.
Yeah.
Hey. Man,
Gutekunst. I put watch him in out the hot Jordan seat for Love. That.
That's going to be a hell of a QB competition this summer. That's for sure.
Yeah, because you really love Sean Clifford at Penn State. You're his biggest fan, man.
Oh, me? I was. Don't play Drew Aller. That's what I said all year.
You benched every week.
That's exactly what I said. Don't play Aller. Let Sean cook.
I think you even said don't even let him go to the Penn State Creamery last year to get a cup of ice cream when the guy was hungry. That's how much you hated Sean Clifford. And then the guy ends up winning you a Rose Bowl, and you love the guy to death.
Could have beaten Ohio State. That would have been nice. I wouldn't even get him out from Michigan. That was a defense. But
you guys didn't even show up.
You know, this is hopefully returning a new leaf. But to answer your question and get off of Penn State, rookie, best setup for success, I'm going Bryce Young.
So I think there's questions on how good of a coach Frank Reich is, but Frank Reich should be able to put him in a good spot. Offensive line, it's a good offensive line. Miles Sanders, I don't think he's great, and I'm curious what type of year he does have. You have solid veterans at wide receivers, but no number one. I actually think this, because in terms of the person, I believe in Bryce Young the most. And the player, I believe in Bryce Young the most. Anthony Richardson, that's just not a good situation right now in Indianapolis. I don't know what Steichen's going to be as a head coach, even though he did a good job as an OC with Herbert and Hurts. Outside of Jonathan Taylor, not a lot there on the offensive side of the ball. Sure, you have Michael Pittman Jr. I'm still debating if he's he's probably more of a two than a one in the NFL. But I look at the Texans. See, here's what scares me about C.J. Stroud, but he's going to be my answer. We saw C.J. Stroud put it all together against Georgia, and he showed some of that mobility, too, and that athleticism. I just wonder why it took that long. And the talent that he has in the Texans, if you look at the talent compared to what he had at Ohio State, and I know it's a different level, but Ohio State, there were just weapons out of the wazoo. But I look at the Texans. Their offensive line is going to be solid with Tunsil and Shaq Mason. You know, their run game with Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary is fine. You don't have wonderful wide receivers, but I kind of think just C.J. Stroud will be average in the NFL this year, and I think that may ultimately win this question. So I'm going to go slightly with C.J. Stroud, where I'm not telling you the Texans have this good roster, but it may be better than what people think. And Dalton Schultz is a serviceable tight end in the NFL. So I when I was thinking about this, and then I was going through the answer, I was actually surprised I got to C.J. Stroud, because at first I was like with you, I was like Bryce Young. But the further I went through it, I don't think the Texans are going to be, I'm not saying they're going to be great, but I don't know if they're going to be as dreadful as what people think they're going to be. And maybe that's only like the difference of, I know they don't have their own number one pick anymore because of the trade with the Cardinals, but maybe it's the difference from like the Dolphins a few years ago and everyone thought they're going to be number one pick and they ended up getting the fifth pick or this. Yeah, it was the fifth pick. So maybe it's a little bit better than that, but I think there'll be a team that could be gritty, but they're not going to be any good. But I look at CJ Stroud and I think he's just going to have a solid average year as a starter first year in the NFL. News brief next, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.